The all-new Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz invites you to get this with Tony Martin and author Simone Howell.
That's right, Ed. A proper actual book writing author today.
Amazing. Look at all the like words and stuff that she wrote. Amazing. Amazing. Tone, let's find out who Mick Molloy's playing in Passiona High today.
Oh, don't get to Passiona High yet. Our guest is looking confused. Have you ever heard the show, Simone?
I like the sound of Passiona High. I haven't heard it. I could be on it.
You could be, because we've got your book here,
and it's full of stories from school.
Yeah.
School plays, etc. School plays gone wrong. That's what we specialise in
that.
Here.
We are into
school
that.
Plays never go right.
And a lot of talk about video shops.
Yes.
Yes.
We'll be doing that.
You're going to be telling your... kind of sexy video shots.
Liaisons, there I may go. Do. I may
straight
do.
Out of your book, Simone.
Mm-hmm. Stockroom action.
Ooh, well, let's just say.
Yes.
Everything that's in your book has happened to someone on this program. Mm-hmm. It's all coming up in the next hour on Get This.
This is a complete dog's breakfast. An absolute dog's breakfast. And, you know, tossing a few more cans of Powell into the dog's breakfast will not, in fact, make a decent breakfast.
That would be the Greg Kinn Band with the breakup song. Welcome to Get This. Ed Cavalier is getting a bit ahead of himself. I'm Tony Martin, and that's him over there.
Yeah, hi.
And,
hi.
Of course, Richard Marsden pushing a button or two.
Can I call him that if you want, but there's many better handles for him.
We'll be getting to his page on Wikipedia, which has been severely vandalised later. But let's try and class things up as we have a fake, phony round of applause for author Simone Howell. Here she is. Thanks for coming in, Simone.
Thank you.
Got your book here.
Yeah.
It's called Notes from the Teenage Underground. It's a top read, but it's described as YA. What does that mean?
YA is young adult. So basically about young people and for young people.
Yeah.
It's very nosing around.
See, I went to an interview with you on the internet, and it said that you'd recently read the same book that I've just finished reading, that one called King Dork.
Yeah, that's a great read.
That is a... really funny book.
What's its go?
It's about a bloke at school who's considered a dork.
Like yourself, TM.
Gee, I never thought of that. It was just like looking into a mirror for 300 pages,
really?
I have to say.
Really? Was he dorkier than you?
He was King Dork.
Mac, but I reckon you would, like, in the dork sort of monarchy.
I'd go higher?
I see as you as some kind of omnipresent overlord. You know what I'm saying?
I was just more of an ambassador for dorkdom at school. But let's not talk about that book.
Sorry.
The reason I say it is because I got halfway through that book because I'd read so many great reviews of it. And then I read the reviews on the back and it went, oh, it's young adult. And I hadn't even realised that it was for younger readers.
Yeah, well, I think it's just a marketing thing, really. I mean, I'm hoping that adults read my book as well, and I think they should. Everyone should read it.
Well, what's the difference between a young adult book and an adult book?
I think it's just about presence. So I think it's like it's a young person's story told by a young person, whereas an adult book could be a young person's story told by an old person who used to be young.
Oh, right.
If that makes sense.
You're still allowed swearing, though. That's good to see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you are. You have to be careful with it, because otherwise it doesn't get into the school libraries and then no one reads it.
Is that right? Yeah. Where do they draw the line?
Well, I think it's individual cases, but I think, you know, there's several words that don't make the cut.
Explain quickly what the plot of this book is.
Okay, it's about three teenage girls, they're 17, and they've decided to go underground for the summer and be edgy and avant-garde.
Yes.
And so they're going to make an underground film and it wrecks their friendship, basically.
That's great.
It's full of filmmaking it.
There's filmmaking the whole way through it.
And did you do this?
I went to school so long ago that the idea of making a film was sort of not quite possible. I don't think we ever had the equipment. I used to write stories.
When were you at school? Because I was at school in the
80s. Late 80s.
In the 70s, we had video equipment, but it was like the cassettes were the size of the Yellow Pages.
Yeah. No, I think we could rent them, like, you know. And I know, like, when I was growing up, we could only rent video recorders for special occasions to watch videos. No one actually owned one.
Well, right.
This is making me sound really old. I'm not that old.
Okay. Well.
That's
the rudest thing you've ever said.
Sorry.
It's too early for that.
Ed, you've got to understand, Ed is 14 years old.
That's true.
Is your book Choose Your Own Adventure at any point?
No, not really. No, I mean, you could choose to kind of go a few pages forward
there
if you wanted to.
That'll do nicely. Yeah. Thank you
very
much.
Your book has, though, is so many scenes set in a video shop.
Yeah.
And it's got that kind of authenticity of, you know, did you actually work in a video shop at any point?
No, I always wanted to work in a video shop. I worked in a record store, which is kind of close.
Oh, that's cooler. I often think the record shop people are cooler than the video shop people.
Well, yeah, I think they probably are, Ed.
Really?
Yeah. How long did you work in the video shop?
8.5 years, homie.
8.5 years.
Yeah, I started before I was allowed to. Like, I was 14 and I wasn't allowed. And I started as the video games expert. This is when Sega Mega Drive was taking the world by storm.
Oh, yes.
And the adults couldn't get their heads around it. You know,
yeah,
why,
really?
Why did the kids want cartridges with, you know, Altered Beast written on the front to take home and play? And I was, and I breached that. I did. And then I branched out into the Super Nintendo. I was across that all the way through your next generation consoles.
Did you rent stuff under the counter?
What do you mean?
Did you ever do that? You know, like naughty things that you weren't supposed to lend out to people?
Well, like pornos.
Well, possibly, but also, you know, just things that were age inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh,
all the time?
Wait a second.
Hold on.
Do I say yes, Tone?
The phrase age inappropriate frightens me, so maybe the answer would be no.
Age inappropriate, no.
Okay.
If I felt they needed it for their personal development,
you need this.
Then yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. Again, individual cases.
Then that's a yes.
Yeah. There's something that is in your book. How's this? Because Ed hasn't read the book. I've read the book and I've said, you know, there's video shop stuff. Wow, did you? You know, there's sort of like romance in the back room, and Ed's gone, oh, yeah, I did that.
No, Tone. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a warm day, and if you work in a video shop on a hot day, you're the only one in there because everyone's at the beach. Everyone with a life is at the beach.
Right.
They're not watching Ken Burns' Civil War documentary for the fourth time that week.
So this is romance just involving no one else in the back room.
No.
What are you saying?
A customer came in, you know, and we were talking over the Chiquita.
Random.
And what did he want?
He didn't want nothing. She wanted some of me.
Overnight loan only?
No, some stuff happened in amongst the Freddos out the back. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah?
But did you put the back in 5 sign on the door?
Yeah.
No. Just
back in 10?
You just lock the door and then people assume that that you're doing some important, you know, Freddo related business.
All right. And at the video shop, did the...
Can I say it was totally awesome? Thank you.
Did you rewind?
Listen, Toto.
How many stars?
Look, Siskel and Urban, they thought it was good, but it lacked a good ending. You know what I'm saying?
Urban.
Who's Urban? Ebert. Ebert, sorry. Yeah. Anyway, Tone, what are you talking about?
Video shops. Did it drive you nuts, the movies that were sort of irregular shapes? Like, you know, Fright Night 2, it's a big coffin. Never fit it on the shelf properly.
And Brain Dead, I think it was Brain Dead, had the puffy cover.
The puffy plastic cover.
I couldn't stand that because you couldn't put it sideways. You always had to put it front on, and it made it look like you were endorsing Brain Dead.
Was it Critters 2 that had the eyes stuck on?
It was Critters 2 that had the eyes stuck on.
Were they crazy eyes?
Yeah, crazy eyes.
They got ripped off first day. Ripped off. First thing that would happen. First time that, you know, it got in, the kids are like, thanks very much, I'll take those. Yeah, but then they stopped that, and then they went for like the wacky colouring, I think it was something about Mary. They were all pink covers, and for some reason, people wanted those, so they'd return them, and they'd nick the pink video box,
right,
with their crappy old one instead.
Yeah, too much information about video shops. Do you think, Simone?
Possibly. I mean, you've gone into a kind of detail that I should know this with my research. We should talk.
There's an interview with you on your publisher's website, and it's got you listing a lot of your favourite films. And I tell you what, you've got back into the 80s catalogue. Do you remember Foxes and Times Square? Remember those?
Foxes?
What was Foxes? Was that Jodie Foster?
Jodie Foster out in LA being a hot chick looking for love with her three foxy friends. I think it was, might have been just on the edge, might have been 79.
Really?
Yeah. Was one of her early ones.
Was that one that you... Did you ever steal a movie from a video shop?
Yes, you did.
Come on.
I can't admit to things like
that.
Of
course you did.
But I will say that I do have many video cards that,
Can't go back there?
Can't go back.
Nah.
Can't go back to that place
every day. They tried to invent this system, like this all-encompassing...
The bounty tracker thing.
Yeah. Of this thing called Video Minder or something. No, it was called... Yeah, I think it was called Video Minder, where if you signed up somewhere else and you had late fees, it would come up on our screen and you weren't allowed to rent.
Mm. Yeah.
But it didn't work. It didn't work because they'd be like, you owe, you know, $300 to, you know, Armitage Shanks' video store in Adelaide. Mm. And they'd just go,
See ya.
I'll see you later.
and just going down the road where they didn't have it.
There's more to this book than this video shop talk.
What is it?
But I think we might be slightly confusing, Simone, with your reference to...
Armitage Shanks.
Yeah, Armitage Shanks. That's confusing enough.
Isn't that... No, okay.
Yeah, it is.
Should I ask?
That's right, it is. Right. That's our panel operator's new nickname.
Okay, and now... Okay. Again.
Somehow he has a nickname on a nickname. What is it now?
It's Toto Neo Rest.
You know, if we're going to call him that, I think we should have the music every time we say it. That'll get rid of that nickname in a hurry.
I was playing some... you'll notice there's keyboard up all, you know, in there. And then there's an extra little bit of keyboard, like synth and then keyboard.
Yeah.
I was doing an amazing job in the lights.
Were you?
In the back of a car the other day of playing along.
Yeah.
And got asked to stop.
Got asked to stop?
By the person... Well, one of the people I was in the car with.
That's rude.
Because I was being weird. And I was in perfect time. And I think I was even hitting the right keys.
Simone, do you ever... When you're not writing books, do you ever get out and do a bit of ear keyboards?
No.
Really?
I don't. Maybe I should.
Stop!
Ask to stop.
That is so rude.
Being weird.
How far up do you go?
To stop. Sorry?
How far up the keys do you go?
I've got two. I've got the keyboard here, and then I've got the synth.
Not the Rick Wakeman.
Yeah, I've got the Wakeman.
That's good.
Well, I only play keyboard acts when it's clear that it is a keyboard act.
You've got to be allowed to play ear keyboards. We get into it at our house with the Law and Order thing.
What?
Yeah, my wife and I. I handle keyboards and sax. She does guitar.
Yeah.
And
Do you have your keyboard and then your sax already hung around you?
I have to flip
Who
back.
Who comes
and,
in with
yeah,
the sax?
Right,
you do.
I have to come in with the sax. I mean, I'm sure other people do this at home when the Law and Order theme comes on. And there's three different themes, so you've got to have subtle differences for each of them.
So what does Annie play?
She handles the axe.
Ah, good work.
But before we go into the routine, you have, and this is free fun that anyone can get into.
Yeah.
You have to decide whether you're on intimate or stadium setting because that affects your performance.
What's stadium setting? What's that?
Real
mean?
Hammy.
Really?
Yeah.
And intimate? Sort of swarthy and.
Sort of looking disinterested and moody.
Uh-huh.
Do you make faces while you do it? Is there some sort of.
I'm sure we do. We've never filmed it, but obviously YouTube awaits.
Hang on, Tone, but there's three themes.
Yeah, there's three themes. There's one of them that's really crunchy and bad.
Is it?
I think that's the one with Vincent D'Onofrio. That's just wrong.
Have you ever done them in a row? Do you ever, you know?
Yeah, we've got all the themes on one VHS cassette now for rehearsing. Take it real serious. You want to get that up on YouTube? Is that a new project?
His name was Tony, Overlord of the Dogs.
There you go. That's what we do.
That's fun.
We have branches everywhere.
That is fun.
And that's what we do. Welcome to Dork Country, Simone Howell.
Yeah.
Great to be here.
Let's get started. That'd be the Chili Peppers here at Get This around the nation on Triple M, or if you're in Newcastle, KOFM, and brought to you by the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. Why are we still using this theme? I think we've established the van can talk. Obviously, if it could talk, it would be available for talking books. It could do the talking book of Notes from the Teenage Underground, this fine new YA novel from our friend Simone Howell, who's with us. I'll just move your microphone to a more acceptable position,
sorry,
Simone.
Sorry.
Have you done a lot of radio shows to promote this?
I've done a few. I've done some nice public radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Done a, yeah, that's it.
No.
Heaps.
What about the posh book programs?
No posh book programs yet.
Are they scared of me?
Are they posh book programs? Yeah, you could go on that ABC Michael Veatch business on the Sunday afternoon, couldn't you?
Yes.
See, they'd have to read it first. And I think they get, you know, they look at it and it's too much for them. They go, oh my God, this is, I can't go there.
I'm so happy that I've actually read the book. Normally I just fake my way through.
Yeah, you're doing well.
No, normally it's me. Normally I read / go to the thing.
Yeah.
And this time I haven't read it and Tone has.
See, you've
but
been
I'm
the
going
dark.
To. Well, I'm going to.
Yeah, you have to.
But I've lived it though. You know what I'm saying?
This is about you.
You can write the sequel.
All right. You're on.
The male perspective.
I'll get the listeners to do it for me.
Yeah, why not?
Is there film interest? Are you getting that kind of thing with a book like this?
Yeah, there's been a few nibbles from production companies.
Is that right?
There's sharks. Watch out.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, there's some dodgy ones out there.
I'm leaving it up.
You've worked with them, Ed.
Enough of that, Tone.
See? Didn't you have an award-winning short film made from something you wrote?
Yeah, I did. I did. I won the 2004 Augie Award, which is the Australian Writers Guild Award.
Yeah, but isn't it only for people who are in the Writers Guild?
Yeah, pretty much. You have to join. And
that
then,
is
and
so
then
dodgy.
Kind of don't
what
join
mean,
again.
Whoa, what do you
so
mean?
You have to be... So what it's meant mean? To be for all the best writing, right?
Yeah.
But you have to be in the Guild. And, you know, hardly anyone is.
To support the guild.
Hang on.
They had. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm just saying that you know, isn't really the best writing in the country. The give you an example.
People in the club.
Yeah, it's the best writing of the people who are in the club.
I have, like this, they had, I have the Ed Cavalier Awards every year.
Yeah, that's true.
And I clean up. It's, I clean up.
It's such a hard thing to get into, yeah, the Cavalier Awards.
Yeah, I know. The Armitage was in there for a while, but artistic differences. He was trying to white out.
I'll give you an example. Comedy Inc. won the best comedy writing on the Augie Awards.
Ooh.
But only the writers who were in the guild got the award.
Not the other one.
So you had, like, people who'd written, like, one line and they got the award, and then you had guys who had written great sketches and they got nothing because they weren't in the club.
It's not very, you know, it's dodgy is what you're saying.
I'm saying it's dodgy, not on my watch. What do you think? Give us a call. I've had enough. Political correctness gone mad. That's what it is. Simone, did you not have your own, not a label, but a...
No, I had a small press publishing company.
Wow, what's that like?
Ooh.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. What did you publish?
Yeah. I published strange short fiction.
Yeah?
From young people.
So you just, like, put an ad in the paper, send in your weird gear,
No, this was kind of an exclusive thing as well. I mean, you know, it was... How did I do it? I don't know. I did it through uni and stuff like that.
Yeah, and why do you say had? I mean, did it all go horribly wrong?
Yeah, what happened?
Because it's a lot of work and there's... I did it for 5 years. We just a book a year. I'm not saying this is not a big publishing company. It was very sort of little and it was exclusive.
Exclusive.
Okay. Was that like your one in your bedroom, Tone? Your publishing empire out of your bedroom? Was that pretty exclusive?
I had my stepbrothers and sisters working on comics and I was really ruthless.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
I was like Perry White.
Hey, when did you...
Where's the new Green Lantern? We've got to get ours out before the proper one comes out.
When did your obsession with spelling mistakes start?
Oh, early on.
Because you can smell a spelling mistake from like 600 metres.
I can.
Are you the man with the red pen?
I have. Made this film called Bad Eggs a few years ago. Don't mention it. Didn't go very well. Yeah. But it is unique in the history of Australian films in that it is the only movie with no spelling mistakes in the opening or closing credits.
When we went and saw Boytown the other night, were you watching the credits for spelling mistakes?
Oh, man, I've got notes for Mick Malort. There's spelling mistakes everywhere. You know the best spelling mistake in a...
Snat O'Garrow's
good.
Yeah.
Annie Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Woody Allen movie.
Yeah.
Won all the Oscars.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Quite well known.
Yeah.
In the credits, at the end of the movie, his name is spelled Christopher Walaken.
Walaken.
Yeah.
He's good too, though.
Yeah, I love Walaken.
I love that Walaken.
The Wally.
Hey, you want some good writing? Get onto the internet and check out that Wikipedia.
It's the first and last authority on everything.
Isn't it?
Oh, look, I don't know what we did without it. I don't know what we used to do before Wikipedia.
And the great thing is anyone can contribute.
Thankfully, anyone can contribute.
You don't have to know what you're talking about.
That's what I'm saying. Back in the old days, you used to have to try and get into an encyclopedia. Some egghead would check whether you've actually got any facts or whether it's just libelous, kind of scurrilous talk.
Facts!
No more, my friend, no more.
What's going on Richard Marsden's page? What are you calling him now?
His name is Toto Neorest.
I think that means...
You've got to see it, Richard. Oh,
okay.
Nicknames. I call him Toto Neorest at the moment. But some other good ones are David Bowie.
David Bowie.
I like that one a lot.
There's about 700 that are puns. Mars Lando Bloom.
I like that one.
Mars Attacks. And then just David Bowie.
Yeah, 6:30 a.m. That's a beauty.
I don't know what that is. And Will's Bitch. That is true.
Yeah, that's cool. A nice one. Tequila Dicking Bird. That's got sizzle.
The Island of Dr. Marsland.
That's great. This is my favourite, though. Traction Jackson.
Traction Jackson.
I did have some Carl Weathers about this.
Are you allowed to... Are you allowed to put your name like next to who put those in? Because that is gold, man. The Traction Jackson guy.
Sanchez Master.
Yeah, you got to watch that.
The Button Bender.
The Panel Whisperer. That's good.
Yeah, Sticky Ricky. And then how's this? The Marslebator.
I like Moose Fighter 2000. That's fantastic. Moose Fighter 2000. I might have to start calling you that, Rich. That is great.
Well.
Mars Needs Guitars.
I like that.
Moo Moo Ricardo.
What?
Moo Moo Ricardo. That's a pun, isn't it? Isn't that something to do
from the caftan thing, I'm sure. Ricardo.
I like a moo moo.
Are you? Well, you've come to the right program. Yeah. Hey, are you on the Wikipedia, Simone?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you're a lucky person.
Are you?
No. You're lucky you.
Who does it? Anyone? Yeah. For no reason.
You can just get on there and make a few changes.
Okay, sorry.
For no reason, that's a stretch.
Yeah.
anyone, for no reason, I'm going to have to disagree there.
We got some business to take care of.
Yeah.
We'll get back to the fancy book talk in just a few moments.
The Shawshanky Redemption. That's my favourite. A pun on a pun.
There was a Brendan called in the other day.
Yes.
He was sick of the ads on the radio about erectile dysfunction.
Ah, yes.
And premature ejaculation. Yeah, the words, come out and you're a lift or something.
And they never just go out and say it.
No.
Like, just come on, ding. Can you not get it up?
Right.
If you just said yes to that, take this. Why do we have to dance around these, she'll thank you for it.
Nonsense. I think I've got the answer.
Good.
We've done our own ad, which I think will solve all these issues once and for all.
Hey, gents, are you sick of turning on the radio in mixed company just in time to cop an ad for...
One of a guy's worst fears is erectile dysfunction.
Or...
Our nasal delivery technology will make premature ejaculation a thing of the past.
Tired of tuning in for a bit of those idiots crapping on about caftans and instead being sold a can of nasal stiffy spray or something to stop you getting off at Jollymont? Well, get your hand off it and calm down, because the marketing geniuses at Get This have cranked the ideas shower up to 11 and come up with an ad that will eliminate awkward references to
erectile dysfunction
and
premature ejaculation
forever. Thanks to Matty D on the Pots and Pans, these embarrassing phrases have now been replaced by subtle oral counterparts. For example, hey fellas, is your downstairs department suffering from... Then just inhale a snort of Get This spray and your... will be ready to... in an instant. Check it out.
Oh, no, not again. Hang on, where's that spray? No, nothing.
Hang on. Bloody hell, that's impressive.
Hey, guys, are you going before it's your stop? Then prolong the inevitable with new Get This. Now, when things start getting a bit... ahead of schedule, you can apply the... and keep things on the new Get This from the makers of Get This products to make you go and not.
I don't know what was going on there, but you wouldn't want that to happen, whatever it was.
There's two things in that tone. When it's your voice, when you go, oh, where's the spray? Your little birds tweeting in the background, as if you and your lady friend are in an aviary for some reason.
Sorry about
this. What's that? And what's that noise?
That sounded quite painful.
What makes that noise? Like, it's one of my favourite sound effects.
I think it's seesaw stroke ironing board, if you want to look it up in the computer.
But someone's had to make that sound. Somewhere has had to make that
sound. That's a job, making those sounds. Such a good job.
Like, the best.
I feel tired now. I feel like I should go and have a cigarette or something.
Well, let's do that during the ads, but let's hope there's no references to... during the ad break.
Get this.
They are the saddest victims of the policy of the North Korean government.
For the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz, the all-new Sprinter.
Yeah, it's Get This. It's around the nation. And joining us today, author Simone Howell. She's got a new book out, Notes from the Teenage Underground. Is there a podcast of it, though?
I don't think there is.
Is there a talking? How many books do you have to sell before you get to do the talking book?
I don't know. You have to talk to my agent about these things. This is,
I didn't sell enough to do the talking book.
Didn't you, Tony?
Really?
I really wanted to do the talking book.
Do it anyway.
I thought you would have qualified, though, because that's kind of your go.
I'll just get Matty D to do it here.
Yeah.
And I'll just never put it out.
Yeah, good on
just
you.
Just put it in a time capsule.
That'll be awesome.
Who do you want to read out your book?
Ideally? I don't know. Someone like Pink.
Pink?
Pink? Wow. Someone kind of feisty and angry would be good.
Not the
Although the character's
dolls?
Not feisty and angry. What's
the
that?
Pussycat dolls, perhaps?
I don't think they can read.
Ooh.
Kim Jong-il, perhaps?
Kim Jong-il?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Oh, you will.
You will.
We all will. Okay, podcast. We've got... the podcast is so good. Hang on, let me just use some of that spray. I'm just going to have a... Oh, check out who's in the podcast. That was unnecessary. it's a two-pod week for starters.
Okay.
We got so much. The 40-minute bacon-filled standard issue. Best to get this podcast. It's got, Arch Barker's in there. You've got our friend Craig Eagle. And, of course, not to forget...
Gussie Sampson.
Who's heard the podcast and declared it to be...
Nice crackle.
From go to woe. You've got... Who else is...
Anything for, Snatto fans?
Yes!
Snatto fans!
Our time
has come!
Santo Chilaro buffs, that's who we're talking. It was a spelling mistake. It was Santo Chilaro referred to as Snatto Garo at some point in time. And,
fans, the long wait is over. Stop the hunger strike out the front. Let's all have a Weet-Bix. He's in. Finally.
Let's all have a Weet-Bix. Is that because you've got like
a box of Weet-Bix
a Bay Marie in front of you?
I've got muesli and Weet-Bix in front of me this morning.
Do you, when you're writing a book, what sort of snacks do you have arrayed around you on the desk there, Simone?
Not so much food, just coffee. Honestly, I write at night, so I don't eat at night.
I'm not allowed the coffee anymore.
I know, you know, Tone.
Torture!
I know, Tone.
People just wave it in my face.
whole bags of coffee beans.
We need some music, don't you reckon?
Yep. Can't be bothered playing anything today.
What are you talking about here?
Nah, I'm over it. You know what?
You haven't got your instruments. Normally there's instruments.
Nope, no instruments today. Today I've brought a CD in.
See, you're just going to play a CD?
I'm going to play a CD. Rich, well, 2, 3, 4. Once upon a time, you used to cram. You do the bum and gray in your fam. Dig you!
It's not that, is it? Ah, it's them! See you on the other side.
Yeah.
That's you too, Angel of Harlem, here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M or KOFM in Newcastle. Ed Cavalier's on board, Richard Marsden's on board, author Simone Howell, author of Notes from the Teenage Underground, fine new novel for, well, no, I don't want to say the younger reader because that suggests it's like Where's Wally?
No, it's definitely not Where's Wally.
I read it.
That's true.
There were words in there I didn't know. Yeah. I love learning a new word. What's the latest time you've learned a new word? You've read that book, King Dork, we were talking about.
Yes, that's true.
That has a fantastic new word.
Is that Ramoning? No.
Ramoning,
I want a Ramoning.
What does that mean?
But that's not like a real word. This is a real word from the dictionary. Calipigian. Do you know what that means?
Okay. Something to do with legs? Or is that just calipers?
It means having well-shaped buttocks.
Oh.
So I'm going to start using that in conversation. Yeah. Oh, check. Oh, that's Calipigian as.
Maybe.
Calipigian. So feel free to drop that into your conversations today.
Yeah, I'm into that.
It's basically nice ass.
Yeah, thanks.
And it's in the dictionary, I swear to you.
Is teledildonics in there yet?
Teledildonics is a real word. It's the study of sex between robots.
Yeah.
Yeah, write them down.
Ooh.
Put them in the sequel.
I don't think I have to write that down. I remember that.
We've just got to talk music because, of course, this entire network is engaged in the essential 2006 countdown. Mm. Some of the songs that are coming up.
I've been getting it. I've been digging it.
Yeah, what about that Nick Kershaw spray?
Oh, yes. I was a bit late because it had already been on, right?
Yeah.
But I said the other day, without preparing it, there are the two instruments in there that are unrecognisable.
This is in Wouldn't It Be Good by Nick Kershaw.
Yeah, I didn't know he had other songs. All right.
Hang on, we brought in a consultant. Have you got a round of applause?
Hello.
Our industry observer today, keyboardist for the band Jason Walker and The Last Drinks, it's Brian Crouch.
Brian Crouch, what's up, homie?
Hi, Brian.
Well, hello there.
Nice.
Can you identify instruments?
Let's give it a shot.
All right, that's it. The first one. Now, it's not the singing or the thing. There's like an electronic flute, I guess. But let's have a listen. Here we go. I got his heart. Couldn't dream how hard I got it. Stay out of my shoes. What is that? Come on, Brian. What is that?
What is that sound?
What is that bad boy?
That's the electro pan flute.
Whoa, the electro pan flute?
Wait. So what are we talking about here? A pan flute plugged into an amp or...
Well, actually, it's fully digital, but it's interface is just like a real pan flute. Roland Electronics only made a few of them in the early 80s.
You're kidding.
So if I was to... what would I do if I was to hold one? Like, do I hold it and play it like a flute?
Yes.
But then what's different
like
about
a pan
it?
Pan flute.
But what does it look... how does it look different?
Well, it has a number of leads and cables running from it.
Oh, my goodness! And Kershaw's is the only one who's got one.
Indeed.
Have we got another bit of that song?
All right, okay. And this is a bit later on. There's another one here. Here we go.
Ed is dancing along.
All right.
What is that?
That was
yet again, same era of music product.
Yeah.
Not very many made. We're talking the Digi-Kazoo here.
Oh, the Digi-Kazoo.
What?
The Digi-Kazoo?
Absolutely.
Oh, come on. So we're talking now... you mean someone in Kershaw's band, right, got to play both electronic pan flute and then Digi-Kazoo?
Absolutely.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
You can see now why they never sold that many.
Oh, no, I can't.
Well, see, I was thought you...
Digi-Kazoo.
You claim not to have heard of the follow-up single. Simone, would you be old enough to remember The Riddle by Nick Kershaw?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, see? Have a listen to this.
Oh, I love this song.
There you go. And I've had an email. Ian Channel has sent me a really long email that basically says, stop bagging Nick Kershaw.
Who's bagging it? No one.
He says, the story behind The Riddle is a classic. The lyrics are basically a bunch of random words about nothing at all, which Kershaw threw together in 20 minutes as filler to demonstrate to an impatient record company executive how he thought his next single might go.
Is that right?
And then he just went, I'll bung that out. That'll do.
I thought it was really profound.
Jeff, get the Digi-Kazoo. We're off. Now, was there Digi-Kazoo in the riddle? Or any electronic pan? If anyone knows of any other songs, Brian, do you know any other times where the Digi-Kazoo and the electronic pan flute got a run?
Come on, the Howard Jones catalogue. There must be something in there.
I'd like to get to know you well.
I think it's got to be in there somewhere. Yeah. I think they were also using the same hairdressers.
Amazing.
Oh, they were.
Thank you. Thanks so much. That's been bothering me because I want to play when that song's on in the car. I want to play, you know, air whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I haven't known whether to hit a synthesizer or knock out a flute.
Yeah,
no, definitely a pan flute and a kazoo.
I have no doubt I'll be plugging a pan flute into an amp next time that thing comes on.
Ian Chanel says that Kershaw's still bashing albums out.
Is he?
He'd rate Nick Kershaw as one of the most underrated artists around. He's still very much in the game. Come on, guys. Give him and his new album a plug. He's a decent bloke.
You don't know that.
You know, they said that about the Bay City Rollers. They're all in jail.
Oh.
You've Got to Laugh is the new Nick Kershaw album. That's what it's called. You've Got to Laugh.
Oh, no.
It comes out on the 26th of October.
I'm happy to say now that we're going to give something of that a run.
Yeah, we'll
give one of those a run.
We'll sizzle it up.
We'll give it some sizzle.
We'll help Nicky along.
Great stuff. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Brian Crouch, for observing today.
Thanks, Brian.
Pleasure.
Are you going to tell that story about Tim Friedman? No, I didn't think you were. Give him a round. Another round.
Here we are. Go do it, Rich.
There was no story. I'm making it up. I just thought I'd put him on the spot.
There was a story.
Because, you know, most keyboardists have some kind of story about Tim Friedman.
There was a story, just neither of you wanted to tell it.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. Let's get up the mountain.
I wanted to hear it.
Oh, look, I don't think Brian's very happy with me.
Yeah, it's okay.
Just blame it on me. If you bump into him, just blame it on me. Have I got you into trouble?
Not yet.
Tone, just tell us the start.
Well, here's our Tim Friedman story.
Okay.
Years ago when we were doing Martin Malloy, we just kept... Remember that film, Let's Get Skase? Lachie Hume wrote that bad boy. And we heard about it going into production, and we're going, they've got to get Tim Friedman.
He looks exactly like Christopher Skase.
He looks like Christopher Skase.
He looks exactly like it.
And we've been talking about it on air. Friedman was coming in. We got a sternly worded memo from the record company going, no mention of Skase when he comes in.
Come on.
If you look exactly like Christopher Skase, it's going to come up.
Like when they make Where's Wally, the film.
Yeah,
like,
they always talk to me.
You're not... You don't mind if they come up and ask you, do you?
Every time there's a new Harry Potter book, I'm inundated with questions.
See? And you don't mind.
Yeah, Harry Potter. Now, Simone, I mean, that Harry Potter franchise, I mean, that's...
Wouldn't you love one of those, Simone?
Do you find... Because, you know, I did a book. And, you know, it wasn't a massive seller, but every time you get in a cab.
How many did you sell, Tony?
10,000.
That's heaps. Pretty respectable.
Is that good for books?
Yeah, how many like Da Vinci Codes have we knocked out in Australia?
The Da Vinci Code has only sold 9,000, so I'm actually a hit. They fluff the figures for the charts.
Wait a second. Now, hang on. Are you being serious? You can't be serious.
It sold 1 billion copies there.
In Australia, Tone,
in Australia. How many would that have sold?
I don't know. One per household.
One per household. It's like a Gideon's Bible. Got to have one in the drawer.
It's in that drawer.
Oh, yeah.
But do you... Because I find that you get in a cab and as soon as people know you've got a book, they're going, oh, mate, are the Harry Potter bucks coming in yet?
Well, funnily enough, it's going to be put out in America through Harry Potter's company, so Bloomsbury.
Right? So your book's coming out in America?
Yep.
Yours, Tone?
In April.
It nearly came out in New Zealand. Nearly.
So close.
There's a library. There's a public library that has it in New Zealand.
Yeah, it's overseas. Sure,
no one's taken it out yet, but why would they? They've certainly fingered the cover. The embossed raised font. People love it.
It is nice to be embossed.
In your book, there's a lot of talk, Simone, about school plays, or not necessarily school plays, but certainly theatrical happenings or events or attempts to be sort of underground on school time.
Yes.
Is this something you got into at school?
Well, kind of. It was more about what my friends and I, what we looked like than what we did, maybe. I went to a Catholic girls' school, so there was sort of a lot of room to...
Oh, right.
A lot of room to be dangerous.
The Mikado, would that have been done?
The Mikado was done, but
yeah,
not...
Yeah, of course it was.
We did what was it? Antigone. And I always got the male roles because I had a deep voice.
Oh, what plays did you do at school, Ed?
We didn't do plays at my school, Tone. We didn't really do sport, plays, or English.
Oh, just all train surfing and glue
sniffing? Yeah, pretty much. It was just sort of, it was kind of like committal hearings in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And then everyone went home. No, we did, they did Beach Blanket Tempest at one point.
That sounds fantastic.
And I was a stagehand, so I could just go and sit in the loft of the hall, so I didn't have to go to class. And that was it. Then that was it. No, they used to do this great thing at the end of the year where the year 12s would put on a review, right? It was cost 50 cents to get in. And it wasn't really a sketch-based. It was just them dressed as teachers doing really, really bad and really, really offensive impersonations of teachers. So there'd be a teacher that everyone whose nickname was Miss Piggy. So they'd just some people would come out like in pig costumes and eat from a trough and then walk off to rapturous applause.
Jeez.
And then they cancelled it. They cancelled that because some of the teachers took offence.
No.
Unbelievable. No. Unbelievable.
What about Shakespeare? Was there any Shakespeare? Oh, so Beach Blanket Tempest, I guess.
What did you do, Tone?
Well, we had Hamlet. I wasn't in it, but it was one of the
Why
funny...
Why weren't you in it?
I can't imagine. I don't think there's a big nerd quotient in Hamlet. You know, sure, he's troubled.
Polonius. You'd be a great Polonius.
Polonius behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Isn't like Polonius behind the curtains?
The Arras.
And someone sticks a sword through the curtains.
Yeah.
And the actual line that Shakey comes up with is, quote, oh, I am slain.
Yeah.
That's what you've got to say if you're Polonius.
Just in case.
Oh, I'm slain. Behind a curtain. Oh, look at this. This will never come out.
It's a ruined me tunic.
You
would have been great. So what did they do, Tone? They did Hamlet.
They did Hamlet, and there was only two performances, and on the second performance, someone stole one of the swords. Now, if you've seen Hamlet... You need two swords
you
for a sword
at
fight.
At the end, especially.
And so someone's gone, nah, we can make this work.
Uh-oh.
And they got a broom, right?
Yeah.
And what would happen is the guy who's Hamlet is, like, on stage, and the bloke who was, is it Laertes?
He's
in the wings with a broom. So half the sword fight is happening off stage. So it's like, you can't see who he's fighting. And then they go into the wings and swap. And the other guy gets the sword, he comes out, and the other guy holds the broom.
Hey.
This went on for some time.
No.
That was, And I'm going, that'd look great in a movie. How good would it be if you saw the big-ass Kenneth Branagh, 4-hour Hamlet, and then, we've only got one sword.
No.
So,
broom silver.
Things can go wrong in your school plays. Is that what we want to hear about? School plays, school production.
Look, Passiona High.
Oh, Passiona High
has absolutely taken off.
Has it really?
Yeah, it's huge, Tone. It's huge. Now, look, the link may be down for the moment. But keep emailing us in. Here are some more castings we've got.
Yeah.
Craig Coitus, played by Mick Molloy, the smug and smoking little pull my finger kid. Isn't that great? And here we go. What do we got here? Oh, yes, we've got the overly fat kid that picks on everyone for their lunchbox gold, and they've gone for John Woods. That'd be nice. from your Blue Heelers fame.
But John Woods hasn't been on the show. Isn't the idea it's only our co-host?
All right, you're out, Woodsy.
All right, Lachey Hume for the role of the misunderstood loner cool guy, leather jacket and sunnies.
Oh, yeah. Right. Who gets into feuds with people for no reason.
Yeah, and his libelous things. Yeah. Here's another. At the moment, you're playing a nerd tone, but how about this? Rafferty Whiplash. Cockney drama teacher who delivers every lesson through the art of song.
I could do that.
That is, that's pretty.
I like being president of nerd meetings in the library, even on nice sunny days. That was my main character. This is a serial we're trying to get going, Simone, and it's going to be kind of like your book in radio form.
Sounds like an amazing world.
Greg Fleet tried to improvise a theme song the other day. That's what he came up with. School of the air leaves you a loner. Come to the school that they call Passiona. Passiona High. That may need redoing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Might need to get the old, you know, electric kazoo into that bad boy.
Have we talked so much?
Oh, we've managed to run over. Good work.
That we have to go straight to callers at random.
It's on purpose. You do this on purpose.
It's dangerous. It's generally discouraged here at the network, Simone.
Let's do it. Let's get started. Hello, Jude.
Hi, guys. How are you? Love the show.
Oh, that's very kind
of you. You guys totally talk my language.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Wow. Bizarre nicknames is your language. Excellent work. Now, tell us your school play, you know, what happened?
I was the dead grandmother in The Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, fantastic. And how dead were you? And what were the reviews?
The reviews were okay. I had a solo, so I managed to knock that off all right. But, yeah, it was a shocker. I can't go anywhere near The Fiddler on the Roof since.
Yeah. All right. Is that the one that has the song about Biddy Biddy Bum?
What?
Yeah, probably.
That one? Yeah.
I
don't need to see any musical that has the phrase Biddy Biddy Bum in it.
Now, we're going to go to Paul. Yeah. Paul, are you there?
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, good. What's going on?
Mine's Fiddler on the Roof as well.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
The actual, at the start, when the fiddler's playing on the roof, she fell off the roof.
Oh, fantastic. Fiddler off the roof. End of production. All everyone goes home early.
That's great. And how did they recover?
I don't know, but we had to go straight out on stage and we couldn't stop laughing. We had tears.
Tears in our eyes. Oh, YouTube, where are you? Thank you very much, Paul. Hello, Daniel. Daniel?
On hold. We've got Ian.
Oh, hello, Ian. How are you, sir?
Hey, Ed. How you doing?
Excellent, sir. What happened?
I was the cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I gave it a bit of Snagglepuss action.
Oh, could you give us a bit of that now?
Camp it right up.
It was... Put 'em up, put 'em up. I'll take your bother once. I'll take it with one hand tied behind my back.
And what does Snagglepuss say when he leaves the stage?
Exit. Stage left.
Of course he does.
Hey, that sword fighting incident that you were talking about in Hamlet.
Yeah.
You're actually talking about a scene that came out of Porky's 2, I think.
Oh, you Porky said that too, really? They stole that.
That's right. Idea. There was the guy's sword broke.
Right.
Halfway through, and they're actually doing the fight with the guy with the broken sword, and actually doing it sort of cut, 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 and the guys with the broken sword, the crowd's killing themselves laughing, and all the time he's yelling out, sword, sword,
oh, yeah. Right. See,
and the prop guy hands him a dummy's leg, a very long,
wow.
Shapely woman's leg. So they finish the fight with this shapely woman's leg, ching, ching, ching. Everyone's killing themselves laughing, and finally the guy who gets beat, unfortunately, the guy who gets beat has to be stabbed by the woman's leg.
Oh, look, is
and
this...
The final line is, just stick it in, John.
There you go.
Oh, look, that's now, every second again. Line in Porky 2 the next day, if I remember.
Once again, Porky's is provided, you know? Once again, high art. Porky, thy name is Porky. Hello there, Daniel. Now, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Great. What happened?
I'm a musician and I was playing for a school production of Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And at one point there's all these little U7 boys running around on stage and all of a sudden we hear a massive crash and one of the kids had fallen off the front of the stage and put his head through a timpani.
Oh, through a timpani! did he survive?
He did, but his hair actually got stuck on the mechanics inside, so we had to hold it upside down and cut his hair out.
Oh. Oh,
fantastic.
I could live that down.
I don't think it would have ever recovered from that. That is. And were people in stitches? Please tell me people were in stitches.
Well, the show did stop for a good half an hour, that's for sure.
Half an hour? Boy, work rich. Thank you, Daniel. Hey, Dan, are you there? Dan, have we got you?
Of if we lost Dan.
Still talking to Dan. Still working out whether we can put him to air. Oh, right.
And all the phones is acting as a filter.
Yeah, she
probably is, for our benefit.
Probably for the best. Sometimes people's names flash red. I don't know if that means under no circumstance talk to this person or whether get them on quickly, they're unreal. So I always just go for them.
Getting a few of these ideas down, Simone, for Notes from the Teenage Underground 2.
They did a production of the piano that makes us gay. I can't remember what it's called.
That makes us gay?
No. That's the song in it. Come on, Brian, help me out here. It's called, We're Looking for a Piano. It's terrible. Come on, somebody knows what this
maybe
is.
Maybe Dan knows. Is Dan there?
No, Danny there.
He's still flashing red.
He's gone, of course he has.
He was apparently too red to go to air.
No, wait a second, this is going to bug me now. Anyway, they were doing a production. We're doing a production. Don't you dare, Martin.
The Piano Makes Us Gay is
song.
A song in what?
I can't remember.
Brigadoon?
No, it's not that. I don't know.
Simone, thanks for coming in and popping down to our level.
Thank you very much for having me.
Is Notes from the Teenage Underground out in the shops yet?
Yep, it's in the shops. It's in your children's or young adult section.
It's a top old read for the younger and possibly the older reader as well. Certainly yeah. I am.
Something in the Park.
What?
It's called like Something in the Park or something.
Oh, Sunday in the Park with George?
No.
Barefoot in the Park?
Something about Armitage Shanks' Adelaide Beats Guide?
Yeah,
something to do with the Veal Gardens in Adelaide.
Veal Gardens, the musical. There it is.
We'll get to work on that as soon as we finish Passiona High. I mentioned it's a two-podcast week. Also going up, is it today, possibly tomorrow, the Sheercast. Oh, the Sheercast, Ed.
Oh, what? Yep.
The Sheercast.
Oh, Sheargold.
Marty Sheargold going off.
But
that was a really good episode and some fine Sheargold gear.
Nice bracket management.
That'll be as per usual. Yep. Thank you, Brian Crouch.
It's been a pleasure.
Hey, man, thanks so much. That's solved, something's been bugging me.
Yeah, the Kershaw problem. We can put that to bed. Thank you, Simone Howell, for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who called up. And our key phrase today, what do you reckon it was?
I want to know the name of this musical. I can't.
It's the piano that makes you gay. And we'll be back tomorrow with Katie Diamond. Katie on the phones is going to co-host the show before she disappears to Albury in the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter.